like a weapon. I'm not sharp as many, but got heart. I'm ready to change scars to envy, to win large and plenty. I like to play fast, never change back. Calling out, I'll pay back, cause I'm great at that. Oh.
Welcome everyone to the Bronx Bombers Strike Back podcast here on the Sports Jedi Network. Salute everyone. We are here to talk about the New York Yankees. So let's go for it. How was everyone doing? Hope you guys enjoying your All-Star break. We're at the midway point, just a little over, a couple days over from the midway point of the baseball season. My goodness, baseball season is going by immediately fast here. A wonderful All-Star break, All-Star game. Gerrit Cole pitch okay, got helped here by the outfielders a little bit in that first inning, but hey, he was our lone representative, made us proud, pitched that one inning there, and now all gears kicks in to the second half. And before the second half even starts, We had a firing of the hitting coach, and now we have Sean Casey is the mayor, is the new hitting coach for the New York Yankees. Of course, all of you guys must know that by now. I just want to give you my thoughts on the new hitting coach for the New York Yankees. He's talking about he sees a lot of guys pressing. He sees some flaw. If you look at his Zoom video or his Zoom meeting with the media, talking to guys like Rizzo, talking to other guys, you know, looks like guys are a little too tight-winded. Maybe he's going to keep it simple, stupid. You know, like I always say, keep it simple, stupid. I think if he simplifies a lot of things, a lot of the hitting approach of some of these guys, is he going to make a big difference? Usually hitting coaches never do. If I ask you about any of these batting title champion, you don't remember the hitting coach. Then if I ask you who's Wade Boggs' hitting coach, you won't even remember, you know. And so forth and so forth. My point is, Sean Casey, who is a proven major leaguer, a three-time All-Star, Cincinnati Reds, former teammate of Aaron Buffoon, he'll know they'll be on the same page when a former major leaguer, former three-time All-Star, talks to you. You tend to listen more. No disrespect to the former batting coach. Not a lot of coaching experience. I know the Yankees try to bring him from his minor league system, have him come up and bring him along the ranks there. But sometimes you need someone with a little bit more experience who's been there, done that, or who's been in the trenches with the, you know, and knows what it is to go in an 0-for-12 slump. What can I do different? And obviously, whatever results the guy was telling him was a little bit too robotic, that the guys weren't capturing the message. I think this is going to help the Yankees, because he'll have a conversation and not even talk about hitting, just something else to lighten the mood, to relate with something else. And I think that's going to help guys like Rizzo send that message there. I don't know if it will help Gleyber Torres. Boy, I would love that Sean Casey to have an elixir to unlock Gleyber Torres's hitting potential that we saw back in 2019, you know, when he hit over 38 home runs. Never became that same player again. You know, he struggled in that pandemic season, came a little bit overweight or out of shape, whatever the case was. Then follow up 2021, Torres had a miserable season. And boy, the Yankees know there's potential there. But when he plays, when he's on, he could look like one of the top 10 players in Major League Baseball. But when he's off, my goodness. Of course, we want to see what's going on. We have our grades. We have our report card grades on the New York Yankees. But we're talking about the season. This season, in my opinion, I do a lot of the watch-alongs here. Probably about 80% of the watch-alongs available this season. And I tell you one thing, it's like a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. The Yankees 2023, if I sum her up, it's a roller coaster. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And boy, we're going to talk about a little bit of the good. Let's talk about the good. Everyone wants to go with the negative first and the horrific. Let's talk about the good things about the New York Yankees here. Here's the one thing that I'm going to say is really, really impressive and good about the New York Yankees in the 2023 is that they're still 7 games over 500. Currently in fourth place, but 1 game out of the third wild card. But they're 7 games over 500. The team hasn't played under 500. Have they underperformed? Absolutely. We'll get into the ugly and the bad. But the good part is they're also starting to get, hopefully, knock on wood, their starting pitching will start getting healthy. So looking into the second half of 2023 to close out August and September, maybe the Yankees as a whole will be completely healthy and pitching-wise 100% ready to go. You know, one thing I you got to say, start in, start out, Gerrit Cole, every 5 days, you pencil that man in. That man is there. I know a lot of us Yankee fans get frustrated. I've gotten frustrated with Gerrit Cole in the past, thinking that Gerrit Cole, he hasn't lived up to his money. Yes, I remember that. I remember doing that watch along. That's my first year of doing the Yankees watch along here on my channel when that, boy, that playoff game, that wild card playoff game against the Red Sox, he didn't live up to Bill. Maybe, you know, we understand he was probably dealing with some injuries, a hamstring. If I remember, it was a hamstring issue with him. It was a little chilly. There was something, he wasn't 100% healthy heading into that start. But it's still, all in all, a lot of us remember the negative, but we tend to either take for granted what Gerrit Cole brings to the New York Yankees. You know, he stops losing streaks. He goes out there. He helps the bullpen if it needed be. And also, he's just a gamer. You know, regardless if you like him or don't like him, if he doesn't have the 10 strikeout performance, even if he's not the Gerrit Cole that we saw coming out of Houston, but he's still very, very good for the New York Yankees, reliable, you know, number one starter, if you could ask me. You throw him out there for and you know what you're going to get from Gerrit Cole, you know, at least regular season-wise. Postseason, we could have a different conversation for a different day. Now, that's one of the good. The other good is the bullpen. You know, no matter how much do they plug and play different bullpen arms, we know Loaisiga won't be back. We last year's trading trips that we had, Efros and Trevino, of course, surgery, not part of it. The bullpen as a unit has been very well. Maybe we've probably seen the resurgence of Clay Holmes in the back of that bullpen. Is he in the circle of trust? He's getting there. Me personally, my opinion, I trust him, but he's not. I don't blindly trust him 100%. I could trust him 85% of the time for a Clay Holmes. And then and the other pieces in the bullpen, no matter if it was from a Michael King bouncing back from that injury, Mariacho was a little shaky. My only concern when you have bullpen and going forward, Tommy Kleene has been phenomenal. You know, that final game on Sunday before close out the regular season, that was one of the ugly. So we'll talk about that soon. But all in all, and whole as the season, I think the bullpen was very, very good. I'm starting to see, I'm a little worried though, maybe a little bit taxation, a little over usage, something that we've seen a lot with the manager, the uses of the bullpen, going to the starters, only go five innings, 5 2/3. I'm tired of the 5 2/3, you know, or six and a third. You know, no one gives you a good 7-inning quality start when it comes to the New York Yankees starting pitching. It's by design. Is it by design? Is it by the analytics? Is it by the general managers, by the manager? We will talk about that in a moment as well. But all in all, the bullpen first half, similar to last season. You know, don't expect compare last season to this last half season Yankees to this one, night and day. But the bullpen is still the staple. They're still good. They're very good. Are they the greatest? ERA-wise, numbers say in baseball, they say they're the best. Doing the eye tests, watching, doing the most, like I said, 85 to 80% of the watch-alongs. I miss a few games here and there. I still not there to say I 100% trust them and feel. Maybe you don't know what you got until you don't have it. But at least in my eyes, I don't feel like they're the greatest bullpen. I'm still worried that they don't have swing and miss stuff. You know, especially in the closer, I want a closer to come out there. And I know, you know, I understand Chapman didn't work out, whatever the case was, but I'm used to the strikeout, you know, a guy who gets swing and miss stuff, especially in that ninth inning or if he comes in the eighth inning with, you know, need two outs or one out, he's going to come in there with runners in scoring position and get the strikeout, you know, not the contact. And that's one thing I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted Wildy Peralta when Clay Holmes was struggling, and Wildy Peralta doesn't have a swing and miss stuff. And Wandy Peralta's had a step back this season as well. So the Yankees, you know, bullpen-wise, if I'm going to grade the bullpen, I'm going to give them a B+ because they were good. And you still remember, and not because of the recent history where Herman start on Sunday. I like the B+ because they don't have the shutdown closer. They don't have a definitive role. They come in, and that's maybe that's a good thing or That you could come in, any reliever could come in at any time and get you those quality outs at the time of the game. Maybe the save is at the seventh inning and Yankees could put away other stuff there. So I'm going with the bullpen. I'm giving them a B plus. And starting pitching wise, you know, the fact, and this is what I remember with the starting pitching, looking at the beginning of the season, you know, Rodon, if I were to tell you we're 7 games over .500 at the All-Star break, Rodon only pitched 5 innings. You're relying on one of your pitchers, other than your normal starting pitching, gave you a perfect game. You were like, you're nuts. All in all, that's why I'm going to give the starting pitching, I'm giving them also a B plus. I don't give them an A because they don't go the lengthwise. And I understand it's not the starting pitcher's fault. And also you have some Clark Schmidt in the beginning. Boy, Clark Schmidt in April and May was brutal. He couldn't get a left-hander out for if his life saved him, especially third time around the lineup. But as of late, Clark Schmidt is learning how to maneuver, pitch well, keep his pitch count low, doing some wonderful things. I like his improvement. He's an ascending pitcher, and that's what you want when you're young. Remember, he's only young. I think he's 25, 26 years old for Clark Schmidt. He's one of our young arms, and he's ascending. I know a lot of Yankee fans think he's still no good or has worries, and rightfully so. He hasn't earned that trust yet, but he's working on it. You see growth and development when it comes to Clark Schmidt. You see Domingo Germán as well. You know, Domingo Germán, boy, talk about a resurgence. Talk about being down in the dumps and making a strong comeback. You know, he wasn't, you know, you see some bad starts from Germán in a couple of times. Then he sprinkled, he had like 7 starts in a row that he was really good. And then he had a couple of bad ones before, you know, I believe the Mets one wasn't so hot. And then he goes out to the West Coast and he pitches a 99 pitches perfect game against the Oakland Athletics. Regardless of the fact that Athletics or not, that's still a major league ball club. And it's difficult to get 27 outs and being perfection. Domingo Germán did a phenomenal job with the curveball on that Oakland start. Unfortunately, I had to go to work the next day. Couldn't do that watch along. I missed on calling Domingo Germán's perfect game, but I watched it over and I looked at it and I was very impressed with Domingo Germán and the way he's growing. Now, also what keeps him from getting an A is Luis Severino. There is an issue with Luis Severino. And I've said it so many times on my podcast or on the watch alongs. I think to me personally, Luis Severino is not no longer a starting pitcher. I think Luis Severino should be a reliever. Possibly a closer, because he does throw 98 to 97 miles an hour when he lets it go. And you see that in certain innings, and then his velocity tails down as he pitches over 3 or 4 innings, 95, 94, where he gets hurt. I think that's an indication that he could rev it up for an inning or two. And I think Severino, for his future, his longevity in baseball, and that's up to him, because he's going to be possibly a free agent to Pete, might not be back with the New York Yankees, but that's another conversation for another day. I think Severino should be a closer or a bullpen arm. Personally, I think that transition, because when we saw him come out of the pen, you know, when he's coming back from injuries, he's very dominant. The thing with him, can he be consistent? Can he go 2 days in a row? And how is his body going to react? That's the other question. I understand why, but maybe for me personally, my opinion, for his long-term job longevity in Major League Baseball, I think the bullpen suits him. Now, that's why the Yankees get a B, because because he wasn't so great. His ERA is almost close to 6. Not very good. I don't know if it's some, you know, sometimes they say it's tipping pitches. There's always an excuse when it comes to Luis Severino. We just got to bite the bullet and say, let's face it, he's not a major league starter anymore. His stuff is great, electric, but not for more than 3 innings. No, not long term, not for when hitters have to make adjustment. His changeup, although it could be effective at times, hitters tend to sit on it or adjust perfectly that well against Severino. And that's why I think Severino should be in the bullpen. And also a little disappointment was Nestor Cortes. I know Nestor Cortes had an all-star season on the IL with that rotator tough strain. He before the all-star break, I believe today, Thursday, he had a session throwing. I don't know how well it went. I haven't read anything or seen anything. How it went in Tampa, not so far from here. I live in Orlando, just to clarify that. And Nestor Cortes was throwing this afternoon. I would love to hear a report on how he feels. He's actually tomorrow when we do the watch along. Hopefully we get a report on Nestor Cortez. Maybe he'll get ready for an assignment, but he's not eligible to come off the injured list anyway until August. They transferred him to the 60-day IL. So even if he was ready, if he had his two starts, he won't be back until August, or at least the beginning of August there. So pitching, we're giving it a B plus, a B plus also for the bullpen for the New York Yankees in the first half here. Now let's go into the offense. Everyone knows that the offense has struggled mightily. Boy, this team in the beginning, May, they looked really good. Judge was on pace here. Rizzo started off a little good. Torres in the month of April was stealing bases. My goodness, you thought he was going to be a breakout major league player, most valuable or most, not most valuable, most improved player for Gleyber Torres. He hit that May wall, that first 2 weeks of May. It just wasn't the same. Also, Rizzo, ever since getting into that neck injury with Tatis at first base, that neck stinger, hasn't been himself either. And a lot of the Yankees, you know, boy, if I were to tell you here in the All-Star that we had to rely on retreads, like, and no disrespect to the retreads, and Willie Calhoun, Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney, you would have been like, you're nuts. We're under 500. We're about to sell. Everyone's injured, and basically, yeah, Jake Bowers, he's injured, but Jake Bowers, bringing him up here, and listen, let's face it, the Yankees do need a left fielder, but we'll talk about that. Jake Bowers has been steady, especially those few games that he was the leadoff hitter, getting the pitch count up, and he gets injured. Before that, Greg Allen, you know, Aaron Hicks, the bullet of Aaron Hicks in early May, they DFA'd Hicks. It was the best thing for him. A lot of bull birds. It wasn't healthy mentally. It wasn't healthy. It didn't look good aesthetically and mentally for him. He's in Baltimore. He found a new home in Baltimore. He's doing well. That's the best part of it. He's happy. He's playing, and he's not longer a Yankee. It also brought Greg Allen back to the fold, and he gets injured. And now he's getting some rehab assignment. Don't know if he'll be able to return back to the Yankees, if there's room. Because I know the trading deadline looms and comes in a couple of weeks. We don't know. But Greg Allen might return, might not return. Willie Calhoun on the IL. You know, I complain so much about Willie Calhoun. And Willie Calhoun was a staple there, you know, for a while there. Yankees offense, we saw that they fired the hitting coach. I'm not going to give them a complete F because they didn't fail. We're still over 500. I understand it wasn't the pretty. Seven games over, it's not pretty. I'm gonna give them a D minus. They just barely passed because they're over 500. You got a rookie who's really your main staple there on offense. You know, Volpe's numbers with 16 stolen bases, over 12 home runs. You know, he only had 300 at bats for a rookie. That's a good number for the kid. The only thing that worries me that I will love him, and that's going to come with experience, cut down on the strikeouts. If Anthony Volpe cuts down on the strikeouts, be a little more contact, you know, and especially in situation baseball, I think that was going to help him also improve. I think Volpe, let's go position by position. We'll give the offense, we said the whole offense and as a whole, a D minus. Let's start with the shortstop position with Anthony Volpe defensively. Anthony Volpe defensively has been a solid A. You know, not the errors. In the beginning of the season, he looked a little bit nervous. He calmed down. He is their best defensive metric player on the Yankees. If you look at his defensive run differential, phenomenal job by Anthony Volpe. Do a hell of a job there. On the bat, he's not that bad. I know his batting average has creeped up to 220. I understand the strikeouts is a little high, but you expect that from a rookie. And all in all, his first half of a major league career, I'm going to give Volpe a B, man. I really like what I'm seeing with a B. I could easily give him a B plus, but the strikeouts hampered him. He's not totally an A because A would have been making the All-Star team. So that's why I'm you know, maybe I understand if you disagree with me. That's what makes us my opinion, and your opinion is your opinion. We totally respect that. Let's go with the third base situation. I think the third base situation for the New York Yankees has been horrid. Donaldson has, you know, all his more home run or nothing. He spent most of the 2 months on the IL. DJ LeMahieu, I don't know if it's his toe issue. not 100% there or psychologically. He got into some bad habits. To compensate for his toe, he has not played extremely kosher. I'm not a big boy. He's 34 years old. Is he father time caught up to him? I think DJ LeMahieu could be a bench player who come off the bench, get you some a hit in the postseason when the lights are bright. That's the kind of player you want coming off the bench, pinch hitter, store and air. He'll give you some good defense, but when the more you play him, the more he's going to be exposed, in my opinion, personally. And I'm going to go with the at third base. I'm giving them. They got no home run production at third. Just Donaldson, feast or famine, but there's no RBIs. Their defense is really good. So I got to get I can't put a total F on there. I'm going to give them a D minus also because they do make some good defensive stops at third base. They both guys in platoon wise play a good position at third. I am going to give them that personally. I think they really, 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 really defend well. And sometimes when you have a great bullpen or a good bullpen in major league best bullpen and a good starting pitching, you want to have some good defense. And then we'll move over to second base. With Gleyber Torres, he is such an enigma. He is the most enigmatic person. He represents what the New York Yankees this season is and the way they are with Boone. You get some great stuff, then you get some disappointment, and then you get some ugh. With Gleyber Torres, I know he has 9 errors, supposedly lead the most in Major League Baseball of second baseman. But when he sometimes make some plays at second base, you're like, whoa, where is that? I don't know if Gleyber needs a change of scenery. I think he might need a change of scenery. I know a lot of Yankee fans in the beginning of the season wants to trade him. 25 years old, man, it's tough to give up on a young talent like that. But I'm at the point here that I think he does need to change the scenery. But the only thing that worries me is, are you going with DJ LeMahieu at second base? He's a shell of himself. If you're gonna go, I know you're gonna say, what about Peraza? But if Peraza isn't being used in a trading chip, who's gonna play second base? You know, there's a lot of different ifs, ands, and buts, a lot of moving parts. Just trying to get, and Torres will get you something, will be added to bring you something. But then the consequences, the repercussion of removing Torres in the middle of the season, that's the hole that leaves you. Now, Torres at the end of the year, offseason wise, I'm all for exploding a trade to try to move him. But at second base, I'm giving him, the Yankees are going to be full of this letter. There are going to be a lot of D's. I'm giving him a D. Actually, I'm going to give him a C. I'm gonna be a little more generous. I'm gonna give him a C because he is hitting. Boone made a pitch for him to go to the All-Star game. If there would have probably been another injury or another when he needed to go to a deeper replacement, maybe Torres might have sneaked his way onto an All-Star as a replacement. Who knows? We will never know. So I'm gonna give him a C. At first base, we're going to Anthony Rizzo. I'm very surprised with Anthony Rizzo. I'm a big favorite of Rizzo. I was happy that they re-signed him. I know a lot of my counterpart on the channels. I remember Caputo wanted Olsen, Freddie Freeman. And it was all great. I was a little afraid, Freeman, that New York might have been a little too much for Freddie Freeman. I was totally wrong because he's doing a phenomenal job in Los Angeles. I was in big favorite of Rizzo. Rizzo, New Jersey kid, local kid, coming back home. He does a lot of wonderful things with charity and all that good stuff. But ever since that neck impingement, he hasn't been the same. And Judge not being in the lineup, you've seen the difference. You've seen the warts on, and also defensively. I don't think Anthony Rizzo has had one of his best defensive. You know, he's a former platinum glove first baseman. One thing I say, man, Rizzo at first, I know when we had Luke Voit and Bird couldn't stay healthy, we were missing that defensive glove at first base, and especially a left-handed. And Rizzo hasn't been up par with his defense either. And I feel he ranges too much off the base. He involves too much of his pitcher. And I'm afraid that with those pitchers covering, that's part of baseball they have to cover. But I'm afraid of the pull hamstring and stuff like that when it comes to that. But I'm going to give Rizzo, at the end of the day, he's great. I'm going to also give him a C because he brings a leadership, veteran leadership. I know he hasn't produced, but his veteran leadership, he's not a rah-rah type of guy. He's calm, cool, and collective. And there's something about that that I think is we might not see it on the field. We might, but I think something to do in that clubhouse, because they're still 7 games over .500, guys. That's why I can't be too critical, too harsh with these grades. I can't give them an F because they're even though they're not in the postseason yet, only one game though, and they're over 500. That's why I can't give them an F. I got to give Rizzo a C. Let's go to behind the plate. Now, the team of Trevino and Higashioka. I am not a big fan. Everyone knows that. I am not a fan of Kyle Higashioka. I'm going to be totally honest. I don't think he controls a running. He cannot control a running game. I think, but one to his credit, he is a catcher of a perfect game. There's a lot to say that with that, the maneuverability, the calling, the architecture behind the home plate, there's something big on that. I think Kyle Higashioka, when he has good pitchers, he could call a good game. He could frame. He could help pitchers go along. And it seemed the only problem with Higgy is that once a base runner gets on, you guarantee your butt that there's going to be a stolen base. Now with the implement of the larger base a little bit, the throwover is limited. And you'll see a lot of teams taking off on Higashioka. Also, his bat, I understand he's a catcher. You're not supposed to ask for too much offense behind the plate. But I think he is terrible when it comes to baseball hitting situation. He's not a good hitter. And, boy, you should be working on your bunting skills. He doesn't bunt when there's runners, to move runners over. He does not a productive out either. He's a strikeout machine. Especially when you have runner at second base and less than one out, or when you have a chance to move him over with one out at man on third, he doesn't come through in that situation. And that's something and I could say that a lot about the Yankee offense. Maybe now with the new hitting coach, Casey, things change. But my point is, I'm going to give Higgy himself as a catcher behind the plate. I'm going to give him a C because he is getting the best out of these relievers and hitters. Relievers and starting pitchers, and I'm going to give him a C, but he's hitting and his lack of base running, it worries me. Trevino, I know his batting average isn't high. He plays, he's a gamer. He comes to play. He controls the running game, the snap throws, the situational defensively. He can hit the high ball. If you ask him, he gets the runners over at times. I'm giving him a B minus, because I guess, I know the batting average isn't there, but boy, you know when he's behind the plate, a lot of teams their running game is neutralized because he has that strong arm. He's a hell of a framer with the pitch. He knows how to frame. He knows how to get the call strikes for the Yankees. I'm giving him a B minus. All in all, for both catchers, I'm giving them right there. I'm giving them a B minus. Both, you add them together, a B minus. Because they're Yankees 7 games over means something and especially when you have battery mates there that could catch and be a big influence behind for that pitching staff. Now we're going to the outfield. I was looking at this. I don't know how to catalyze the outfield. There's been so many moving parts from the left field, right field, center field. This guy plays here. This guy plays there. I'm giving the outfield position. I'm going to give him a D minus, barely passing, even including Judge. It's not Judge's fault that he hurt his toe. He actually broke the damn fence. He broke it, the wall, the fence, the door, whatever you call it, inside the wrong, made it go the other wrong way. And all he got was and to be honest with you, for just having a ligament, I know it's been killing us on a toe. That's like the worst thing that could happen. He could have been worse. It could have been really worse. That big 6'7" going through that wall like that and moving a structure that's not supposed to move that direction, it says a lot. I mean, he was going out making a baseball play. But he has definitely missed in this Yankee lineup. I got to give – and Harrison Bader, I skip Stanton. I'm going to go to Bader. Bader, when he plays, he is dynamic. He is awesome. I was, I've been one that's been on that anthill about Jordan Montgomery. You don't get rid of pitching for Bader, especially Bader comes here in a walking boot. But when Bader does play, he's very impactful. The way he graces and glides in center field and he gets to a lot of baseballs and he makes the plays look easy, that's something really exciting. But what worries me is in the second half, he cannot get hurt for the New York Yankees. He cannot get hurt. Also, Giancarlo Stanton, every year there's something wrong with this man. With a pull muscle, it's not even a baseball play, or at least on the or a defensive play. It's usually on the offense swinging or running down the base pads. It worries me with him, especially with all the ifs, ands, and buts that could have been if we were not gotten that the former NL MVP. What positions, what other players could have been here? We could argue about that until the cow come home. It's not going to change it. I think Stanton was a very disappointment this season, not hitting. It's good to have him back in the lineup, his presence. Yes, it is. And I'm glad that it's maybe the second half with the weather being warmer, he'll play more of the outfield, and maybe he'll get into a hitting rhythm in the second half for Stanton. I'm optimistic on Stanton getting hot and actually helping the Yankees for at least about 3 weeks, put the Yankees on his back. I kind of feel that we're going to get that from Stanton. Also, the left field situation has been atrocious. This one, I can't blame no one but the general manager. You had a chance to go get some left fielders, Benintendi. You didn't want to sign, or he chose to go elsewhere. I guess hitting philosophy, they didn't see eye to eye. You also had Colin Bellinger out there, option, which now you're hot and heavy to being traded for. You could have had him without giving any prospects. He could have been here. That would have solved. Only would have cost money. You also, who the other left field prospects, what other left field people out there, Conforto, so forth and so forth. You didn't address it. No matter what, at the end of the day, you didn't bring them. You didn't make a phone call. You even said it yourself that left field was an issue. The point is that you even have Isaiah Falefa playing left field, an infielder who doesn't really have a position, and he's doing a hell of a job. Don't get me wrong. Falefa, I'm going to give him a beat, man, because that effort playing wherever he's asked for, he just deserves to get that B because he's working his butt off. Does he butcher and doesn't do the routes properly in the outfield? You could see that. He could see that he's very inexperienced, even in center field. But he's done some nice plays, and he's been a model citizen for the Yankees. Not his fault that the general manager got him in the wrong place at the wrong time. Personally, if you do get rid of Torres, I wouldn't mind putting IKF at second base. And you want to put IKF at second base, and go to town. If you could get something where you get yourself a bona fide left fielder, an upper echelon left fielder to play, and Torres is going to be part of it, or starting pitcher. If Torres is doing it, you got to think about putting IKF at second, at least for the remainder of the season. I think IKF is not going to do any disservice playing second base. You could even have him and Oswaldo Cabrera be your second baseman. If Peraza is not part of the deal, that gets to bring in a bona fide left fielder, because Yankees need a left fielder. The outfielder position, you got the guys like the retreads, like Bowers, Frenchy Cordero, and so forth, Willie Calhoun. They disappointed me. I'm giving them an F. It's the first F where they fail, because their whole offense is atrocious in the outfield. They can't stay healthy. Stanton can't stay healthy. Judge, unfortunately, down with the toe injury. Then you have the retreads out there. No left fielder, per se, who could really command, who could play defensively out there. And I'm going to give them F on that there. All in all, they're hitting. They're hitting. I told you already where I thought about it. A D-. They're pitching. They're B-. The bullpen, a B-. But the season, the first half of the season, before I give you that, I'm going to go with the manager. I think Aaron Boone is so lucky. He's so lucky that his group could pretty much manage itself with all the... Because, listen, think about it. A team that every day has a damn different lineup. You don't know where the hell you're batting. Your player that come, you're going to come to work, and you don't know where the hell, going to go to work. It's like going to, I'm going to be here today. Maybe I go there today. Maybe I go there today. Who knows? Baseball players are a creature of habit. We heard it time and time again from different Hall of Famers. Man, heck, Dwayne Boggs used to eat chicken. He has a cookbook, 101 Ways to Make Chicken. They're creatures of habit. They're funny. They're superstitions. They like to hit in a certain batting order. They like to hurt a certain place. They have routines. And if you that's all they ask. Keep these guys in that same lineup. That flip-flop, juggling, this, that. It kind of throws some of these players off, especially when it's I understand if it's a righty-lefty matchup and you want to go with that, with the disadvantage of the, I get it. But he seems like the lineups are taken in a dartboard, and he's playing darts. And wherever the darts land, that's his leadoff hitter. Number two, he'll throw the dart again, and so forth. And it confuses, because you see, when we do a lot of series against other clubs, you know, the Baltimore kept their lineup almost the same. They'll make some changes, but usually the top six hitters are always the same in all these different teams. All these different teams that we play against the Yankees, they mostly keep their lineup the same. Yankees, every day is a flip-flop except for the two and the three. And sometimes a cleanup hitter, but other than that, it's always a flip-flop. You know, this is the New York Yankees, you know, where you know where Murderers Row, you know where Garrett was batting, you know where Ruth was batting. You know, even when the Yankees in the dynasty, you know where Jeter was bad. You know where O'Neill was bad. You know where Bernie was hitting, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, let's take it back to the 80s. That weren't good. I could tell you that Yankee lineup from 1986. Okay. It was Ricky Henderson, Willie Randolph, Don Mattingly, Jack Clark, Dave Winfield. Okay. That was talk about a lineup there. Then you have Paddy Rulo. I mean, that was their lineup, stapled. And then you sprinkle in Wayne Tolleson, Don Slott, Rick Cerrone, whenever they, you know, platoon backup catcher, and also for Rafael Santana when he was playing shortstop. That's how that went. That's how that lineup. And these guys, every time with the Yankees, and that was the Yankees, you know, they didn't make no postseason. And that lineup was always consistent. I know it's a different time, different era. They don't play like that, this and this and that. But you see other teams make the same lineup over and over. My point there, lineup construction, I'm going to give Boone, despite being over seven games over 100, I'm giving him an F. I mean, and him as a manager, strategically wise, to win games, I'm going to ask this question. When is the last time you've seen Aaron Boone make a managerial move, a double steal, or call for a hit and run where he actually won the game? Oh, you know what? Boone did this, and this happened to go through. Even if the player, even if the defensive player boots it, and the Yankees were fortunate, he hasn't called any of those plays. He's not a strategical manager. He's a script. He's a puppet, and that's not. And since now, 6 years with the organization, we haven't gotten past, you know, we haven't gotten to the World Series. We haven't even come close to the World Series. We go to the ALCS and got embarrassed and swept last season. That's the furthest Boone could take this team. I'm sorry. I'm giving him an F. He's not a good manager. He doesn't handle the bullpen correctly. He goes to the hook to the starters immediately. He cost Domingo Germán like four games this season from the Guardians. Remember that game in the Guardians? He was pitching to the eighth inning, pitch count low. He pulls him, and they lose. You know, he's done that to a couple of Domingo Germán starts. Clark Schmidt, a couple of starts. He goes to that ball, and he yanks them. I get it. I understand. You know, there is a truth to when a hitter sees a pitcher for the third time, that batting average does get elevated, and you have better success. Baseball is a game of mistakes. If you go three hits out of 10, you're a Hall of Famer. So you fail seven times, and you're considered a Hall of Famer. Baseball success isn't failure. You're the less, you know, and my point is, sometimes we ask you, take the temperature of the game. Maybe the pitcher has a high pitch count, but he's cruising. He's gotten a groove. And late in the games, he's getting stronger. You know, he's gotten these guys, he's cruising along, and he's good. And then here he comes to make a move. You know, sometimes some of these pitchers got 99 pitches, 97 pitches, and he's just struck out three out of the last five hitters, and he's got one more out to finish the seventh inning, sending him to the eighth. Here he comes. Here comes the manager to pull him for no reason. First of all, you disrupt the flow of the game. The pitcher's in a flow. Your defense is in a flow. The offense is sputtering on the opposing team. When you make a pitching change, you know what you just did? You made the hitting team, your opponents, take a minute to breathe and re-energize and go, oh, wait a minute. Okay, well, this guy's dealing, man. I don't know if we could hit him. Psychologically, they're bringing you on the pitcher. Your advantage goes back to the hitting, because now they're like, oh, this pitcher's out of the game. Oh, I don't know who's coming in. He's probably cold as heck. I'm ready. You know what? Good riddance. He's out of the game. Let's go. That's what Boone does when he makes those stupid moves. And especially when there's also a three batter minimum. He likes to put himself into some corners, or he burns too many of the bullpen arms. You know, fifth inning, how is it that opposing teams, their starter could go seven, eighth innings, and they only use two relievers, three. Meanwhile, the Yankees use five just to get a one-run victory. And then the next game, we got to hear on the broadcast, oh, there's a bullpen budget. This guy's not available. This guy's not available. Then you're done. And then you're stuck with the Alberto Abreu's, the Nick Ramirez. I mean, Nick Ramirez has been good. But I'm just usually saying those usual suspects for them out there. And then you're like, how am I going to win this game when I got Alberto Abreu trying to protect the one-run game or keep it at one run? Then he comes in, and you know what happens? They end up losing that. And those are the type of moves and repercussion and consequences that Boone does, because he's trying to follow a script. Managerial-wise, he's not it to win this. Hopefully, Casey could help him. Maybe he has a bench coach who someone with another set of major league eyes that could talk to him, a friend, and say, I'm seeing something different, you know, because he's been all he done in MLB baseball is criticize and break down the game against all through. So he worked from MLB Network. I know Boone did the same thing in ESPN, but Major League Baseball for MLB Network, when he goes out there like that Sports Center type of rundown that he's checking out all the plays and they're criticizing, critiquing, maybe that's going to help the Yankees here with Casey on the staff. I'm hoping, fingers crossed. So, you know, for the season, mid-season, I'm not happy with Boone as a manager. Personally, I would have liked him to be gone, but that's just my preference there. So we'll move on here. The Yankees schedule came out, but before the Yankees schedule for 2024 came out, we're talking about now the owner, Powell, as an owner. I don't know what truth is not truth. If he wants to be over that luxury tax, doesn't want to go over that second threshold, whatever the case, he's a penny pincher. Maybe that's what's holding Hashman not getting a left fielder. Doesn't want to throw dirt on that. If that's the case, bring up Everson Pereira. What is wrong with bringing Everson Pereira? Either your prospects, either you're building a farm system where you're developing players, or you're not. You know, and man, Yankees are scared, gun shy, in my opinion. The way I say they're gun shy and scared, they bought up the Baby Bombers in 2017. Sanchez pretty much almost took the Yankees into the postseason the year before there. They bought up Judge in 2016, and they almost made the postseason. 2017, the Baby Bombers took off. Listen, they played their players. They played their young talent. They performed for a year or two, and bottom fell off for some reason. They're not developing on the major league level. Sanchez was for the first 2 years was the most lethal power hitting catcher in all of baseball. All-stars, multiple all-star Gary Sanchez. Greg Bird, if you remember, he hit a tough lefty in Andrew Miller that postseason. They hit the home run. The Yankees had no business of winning that playoff. They won. Greg Bird inspiration hitting that home run. He came up and played. He just totally was injured and couldn't pan out. Andujar was a 40-plus doubles machine. Should have been rookie of the year, in my opinion. He just got hurt, and it made the move for Urshela. You know, one thing I give Cashman, you know, guys get hurt, he goes get those Mabins. He gets those Urshelas. He finds those bargain basement. But I think now as Yankee fans, we want some steadiness. We want some guys now that are not bargain basement, that we know they're going to be good players and going to be a long staple there. And I don't know if they're going to do it through a trade or they're just going to play their kids again. I think they're gunshot. I think they have PTSD. When bringing up some of their young kids, we're hearing a lot of great stuff from the Austin Wells, from the Spencer Jones, from Everson Pereira, Peraza. We're hearing, you know, great stuff there. And I don't know, Jason Dominguez, are there going to be a move there? We saw the captain on the All-Star game asking that he would love to see Juan Soto come to the New York Yankees, especially if Judge is not coming back. What about Judge? You know, one of my guys on the chat that always comes on, Mr. Steve Fetlett, said it. I think as soon as it happened, I think Judge is going to need surgery on that toe. It's probably a sprain. And he's been saying it from the very beginning. And what do you know? He does need surgery. Personally, I know he's going to try to give it a go, but I just hope he doesn't overcompensate and get into some bad habits for Judge, where it's going to affect him coming back after he's fully healthy. Let's cross our fingers that doesn't happen. Will the Yankees make a trade? That's the next question. Do they make the postseason? You know, right now they're one game out. I think the Yankees make the postseason. Are they a World Series caliber championship team? Sorry, Yankee fans. As much as I want to do the Yankee World Series watch along, I don't think so. I don't think so. Although talk to me in another 2 weeks or another month. You know what? I could say different. But as of right now, on the 13th of July, when I'm recording this video, I don't think they're a World Series caliber team. I'm sorry, they're not. Could it change? Could it? You know what? The Yankees have not played their best baseball. So that's one thing encouraging for the second half. Can they go into late September, mid-September, late September into a stride where they start playing their best baseball into October? We haven't seen that with an Aaron Boone team. Usually the opposite. They strong off really strong world beaters and they fade. Hopefully this time around, maybe that's a testament to some of these veterans. Maybe they're like, you know what? We went all out last season and we ran out of gas. So you know what? I hope so and I hope not. And it's oxymoron catch 22 because I didn't like what we saw. But if they get on a stride and go forward and go into the postseason the way they played that first half of last year, they're world beaters. Ain't no one really going to beat them because they have closers. They got bullpen arms. They got starters. But the one guy that worries me is Aaron Boone. I'm sorry, guys. Aaron Boone worries the living daylights out of me as a manager. That's the one worrisome I have going to postseason. You see the Alex Coras eat his lunch. Again, I go back to when Brian Bellows was pitching on that Sunday night game where they got swept in Fenway when he had trouble and he trusts his young rookie pitcher. Says, calm down, get this final out. And he just told him like that. In words of encouragement, he could have easily went to the bullpen and Boone would have panicked. He would have yanked him and Bellows went out there and struck out the side and pitched well and away he goes. And he gave confidence to the young man. I don't see that with Aaron Boone. You know, and I'm afraid when we go to the postseason, you get the best of the best managers. And those are the things that worries me when it comes to Boone making the decision there because he's too scripted, too analytic. He doesn't have a temperature. And the thing for a guy who's been in the game, third generation, grew up with this, he doesn't act like he never manage or he never played in the game of baseball, doesn't know baseball IQ, and it worries me. But hopefully Sean Casey changes that, helps him be a voice of reason. Maybe he's a Zimmer who could talk to him and make he say something different. I hope so, fellas. I hope so. So I don't know if the Yankees will get Shohei Ohtani. That's a name being thrown out there. I don't know. That's going to cost a lot. Aaron Nola is another name. If St. Louis wants to move him for third base, Carlin Bellinger, another name out there. Lucas Liegito, if they want to, or Marcus Stroman for starting pitcher, if they want to go Jorge Soler. You could move Torres. Like I said, if you're going to pull Torres, where he could bring you a let's say for instance, you're going to want to bring in another left fielder like a Soler, and you could Torres for Soler. You move IKF to second. That's the only move you could really do if you're New York Yankees. Not going to be great. You know, I want Soto. Personally, I do want Juan Soto. I've been saying Juan Soto. If you don't bring in Juan Soto, then go. Just give this left field to Jason Dominguez, man. Let's go. Let's see what the kid got, man. You got to know somehow you got to trust some of these young kids to at least play. You trusted Volpe. I got to give them credit. They trusted Volpe, but man, they gotta. I would like them to see Dominguez. Now, speaking of that, they had their draft. I just wanted to touch on a name that I want you guys to be familiar: Kyle Carr, a left-hander. They only drafted two left-handers in this draft. He is going to be the future closer. He won't be ready until 2026. I'm coming on this video now and say I think he's going to be their closer, a flamethrower who throws 99, 98 miles per hour left-handed. He already had his Tommy John surgery. Post-Tommy John, he's throwing those high velocity. Keep an eye on him, folks. Keep an eye on him. I think he's going to be Yankee closer in years to come. Another name that I'm looking around here that I wanted to throw out there that I'm looking, Rico Rigo from Oklahoma. The Yankees took a lot of collegiate players, not a lot of high schoolers, college experience. I think they really want to get these guys ready to go. I think they're really going to try to develop these kids out of college to see if they make the major league and try to take costs down and retool with their money. It kind of throws me that way. But, of course, it's going to take 2 to 3 years for these kids to actually make their major league level. But Rico is the second baseman. Rocco Rigo took in a second baseman, 5'9", 5'10", who is a spark plug, high energy player, contact, who's just speed. Keep an eye on him. Those are the ones that I wanted to talk to you about. And then finally, for my final thought here, We got the regular season. Actually, that's this year's. The new 2024 regular season schedule came out, and here it is. The Yankees open up 3 with Houston. So they got 3 games with the Houston Astros. Actually, 4 games on the road at Houston. Then they go to Arizona. Their home opener will be in Toronto, against Toronto at Yankee Stadium, followed by the Marlins. So the first month of the season, we're going to play Toronto 6 times. So, wow, that's going to be a quick one. And the Tampa Bay Rays, we close out in with hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates at Yankee Stadium. I'm looking at their September. Okay, you can never tell week year to year. Maybe St. Louis gets better. St. Louis will come in to around that Labor Day. Actually, the Labor Day will be the Cubs. We'll be in Chicago against the Cubs. Maybe I go to Chicago and see my little nephew up there in Chicago against the Cubs. And then you got the Royals, the Red Sox in September. A big West Coast trip, Seattle and Oakland. That's going to be a big one. I don't know how good Oakland is going to be, but if you need those to possibly postseason implication, they'll get the Athletics. Of course, that's going to be on the road, but that's a weekend series on the road in late September there. So of course they got the Nationals we see in August, and then the All-Star break, they'll host the Tampa Bay Rays. So right before the All-Star next year, the Yankees again for the second year in a row will be in 4th of July, will be in Yankee Stadium. They'll host the Cincinnati Reds, and then they got a nice weekend. Talk about fireworks. You get the fireworks with the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. And then, of course, to close out, you got the Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles, just the divisional foes before you head to All-Star break. And then after the All-Star break, you host the Tampa Bay Rays, a thorn in your side. And then you host your rivals, New York Mets. And then we play the Mets at the end of June as well. So we'll see the Mets in a short span next year. So that's the schedule that came out there for the Yankees. They'll close out at home the 2024 season, but they'll open up on the road in Houston. So right off the bat, they go against our foes, the Houston Astros. That's going to be a fun series for the Yankees. And that's it, guys. So all in all, I am a little worried with the Yankees and with the manager situation. Their prospect huggings, are their prospect hugging? I don't know, because if they don't make any moves, if they stay pedestrian on the trading deadline, then you got to play some of these young guys. I understand it's tough when you have a 40-man roster, you know, to move guys up and down the 40-man roster. And I didn't even mention Chaparro. So Andrés Chaparro is another one who's having a hell of a season in AAA, hitting. Only time will tell, you know. But Yankees never stand pat. One thing, they try always to kick the tires, move. Bustione reported that the Yankees are interested in Ohtani now, which I'm just thinking Bustione just saying that to draw interest from other teams, because once the Yankees' name are attached to anyone, other teams start getting more interested or more exciting or more inquiry or more anxiety. So once the Yankees' names are thrown in there, teams get to, you know, raise an eyebrow. I don't think the Yankees are in the Ohtani sweepstakes. I'll be surprised. I think they're not even going to go after Soto if he's available. As much as I want him, I'm having a hard time trusting this organization with that move, but we shall see. Please join me tomorrow night against the Yankees. We'll take on the Colorado Rockies from Colorado. We'll do the watch along with the watch along crew. We'll have the, you know, we'll get your popcorn, get your snacks, and let's go. Let's watch it. Let's interact in the chat. I want to thank you guys for letting me speak to you about the Yankees, give you my thoughts. These are my thoughts, my grades. I understand if you don't agree. We could agree to disagree, but that's just my opinion from my point of view, my lens. And I hope you guys, I respect everyone else's opinion, your thoughts. And I hope you guys could agree or disagree. And we'll continue to root for our New York Yankees to keep our eye and possibly trying to get that 28th World Series. We shall see. Only time will tell. So all the love. All the best. May the sports be with you. And remember, hit that like, subscribe, and share.
That you never guess. I don't slack, don't lose, learn your lesson yet. When I get to choose.